Welcome to the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast, as always, brought to you by LL Pavorsky Jewelers, where Rights to Ricky Sanchez listeners go and get engaged and talk about the process. 707 Walnut in Philadelphia, always at llpavorsky.com. I am Spike Eskin, along with a former writer, and I say former with a heavy heart, of The Grindr on Fox. That is Mike Levin. The Grindr unceremoniously canceled with some other shows. I guess they all got announced at once, but The Grindr, it upset my wife. She was not happy about it. I know a bunch of our listeners are unhappy about it. Mike, sorry to hear. Here is your chance to reflect on The Grindr.
Oh, well, you know, it was to be expected. Our ratings weren't great. Actually, they were awful. But, you know, my episode got a little boost in the Philadelphia area, as you said earlier. It was a funny show. It was an interesting show. I think it tried to do something different. The guys who created it, had a vision and like a tone that they wanted to hit, and it sort of felt different from all network comedy. And I think people liked it, but not enough people found it. And, who knows? It's one of those things.
It seems like it's hard if you're, especially hard if you're on a network, right? Because they need ratings as opposed to something like Netflix or, you know, Yahoo or
Amazon.
Well,
they still do that. Like a show, you know, like HBO, you know, networks are more strict to it. They adhere to the rating system, even if it's a little bit archaic, more closely than other places do. But, like a show like Togetherness was on HBO and it didn't get enough eyes, so they canceled it. And it's like it was like a prestige show. And the same goes for other stuff. Yahoo like totally folded.
Video?
Yeah, they picked up Community and then like they just didn't make any money off it and totally just like folded fast.
That's interesting.
It's weird. Well, everybody's trying to negotiate how to make money in this whole thing.
Yeah, well, I mean the digital, it's amazing. Everybody. And then we'll get onto the podcast. The most interesting thing I think about making money digitally is that like no, when I see people using, and I understand the convenience of it, but when I see people using ad blockers, or I hear people once every 6 months where there's a fake thing on the internet about Facebook becoming like a pay service, and everybody gets so outraged at the notion of paying for it, is that. At the end of the day, if you don't watch ads and you don't want to pay for anything, you're not going to get any content. You're just – people need to get paid somehow. And I understand that ads are intrusive to your experience, but they are the only way that anybody gets paid. So unless you want to see product integration into shows like you've never seen before. And I'm talking about like Doritos t-shirts on people. No offense to Doritos, just thinking of Wayne's World. There's no way there's ever going to be any content because people don't want to sit through ads and they don't want to pay for anything. So, you know, at the end of the day, you're sort of shit out of luck.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, you know, you can expand that to like blogging to some extent where people like the world at large, I mean, it's half the reason Grantland got closed.
Yeah.
The world at large like doesn't care about like actual good content, and people, I mean, free is just better. They'll take like vaguely informative free over like legitimately good cost or even ads in some way. But you know, this podcast, we got nothing better to do, so we just shove it out there for free.
Yeah.
we're the last bastion of hope for free good content. That's not true at all.
It's such a lie. Yeah. So, all right. So
I should say, hold on before we go on. Yep. I was not, yep. It's although I wrote an episode of The Grindr, I was not a writer on The Grindr.
Yeah,
I was an assistant.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just like, I feel like gross saying it, but hopefully it's okay.
No, yeah, that's me saying it. That's me. That's definitely. This is the one time when I'm the one saying something that could, you know, that's putting you in an uncomfortable position. All right. So the podcast is, as always, Available on iTunes, Stitcher, and now Google Play. We do appreciate all of your ratings and reviews on iTunes. They're always amusing, and the more you rate it and review it, the higher up it comes up in search, which means we're more successful, which doesn't really mean anything at the end of the day. But there was a couple. I always like to read the reviews if there are new ones out there. So Here's one that reviews. It gives it 5 stars. The headline is "Better than a trip to Qatar." Not only is this the only Sixers podcast there is, listening to it appears to have cured my lingering navicular bone problems and increased my bone density. So there you go.
That's huge.
And then here we go. And the subject line, this is another 5 stars one. "Egg avatars and Twitter wives. Love the pod boys. Great stuff. Spike, stop trying to cut every episode short. People who listen to this podcast are maniacs anyway. No one is going to tune it out because you go over an hour, 4 hours, get crazy. I honestly crack up every time I hear the Doug Collins voiceover in the Jigsaw segment. Love it. Hashtag lickface. Hashtag strapazoids." So there you go.
That's great.
So here's the big story. The lottery party is Tuesday at Xfinity Live, 6 p.m. till 10 p.m.
My friend yesterday, one of my best friends, was like, "Isn't the lottery on Thursday?" And I was like, "No."
Did you panic? Somebody actually asked me, who was it? I was with Glenn Macnow at a station event yesterday, and he was really amused and encouraging about the lottery party, actually. Mm-hmm. Somebody who has been very anti-process, but sure. He said, "So the lottery's Wednesday, right?" And I panicked for a second. And I was like, "Oh no, is the lottery Wednesday?
Yeah.
Did we plan the party on the total wrong night?"
Sure. I took a different tact, which is I was like, "No." He's a Celtics fan, my buddy.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, "No." And he's like, "Are you sure you thought it was on Thursday?" I was like, "Trevor, I'm flying 3,000 miles to host a party. I think I know what day it is."
Yeah.
I was like offended that he would even question me.
Yeah, we're the only people that know for sure. Yeah, you know, everyone else.
We're
yeah.
positive. What day yeah. it is.
So it is at Xfinity Live from 6 to 10. Now, I'm going to suggest this, and I've been suggesting it all along, but so we've had some feedback about, I'm not going to get into specific numbers, about how many people are going to come, and it's going to be a lot of people. And there's an outside chance, and I don't think this is likely, but there's an outside chance that we may have to cut off the free parking ticket. So I am telling you, if you want to park for free and want to download the free parking ticket, please do it Sunday or Monday. Do not wait until Tuesday. I'm not going to deal with anybody complaining on Tuesday. So please, Sunday or Monday, download the free lottery, the lottery party ticket. You can, it's not to get in, but it's to park. Now, you have to go in lots C or D at the Wells Fargo Center. They are right next to Xfinity Live. There is a parking map. It's very easy to find. So either go to XfinityLive.com or go to RightsToRickySanchez.com and download the lottery party parking ticket, please.
And you got to assume that people are going to be taking the train.
Yes. Some people yeah. also. Yeah. I mean, you can take the Broad Street line. Hey, you can park at a friend's house in South Philly. You can pay to park. I don't care. But I'm just saying, if you want to pay, if you want free parking at the Wells Fargo Center lot next to Xfinity Live, you need to download the ticket. You need to pull in C or D. What else was I going to say about it? It is all ages. A reminder, you do not have to be 21 to go. You do have to be 21 to drink, but you don't have to be 21 to go. The first 250 people that go up to LL Pavorsky's table will get a gift bag. And that gift bag will have a $100 gift certificate for LL Pavorsky Jewelers. So go and visit LL. We have had people download the lottery party parking ticket from 17 states so far. And there is one guy named Tim who is flying in from Australia for it. So, and a guy emailed me on Friday who is a process truster who writes for the New York Times. And there is going to be a mention of the lottery party and the podcast in the New York Times, at least the digital edition, on Tuesday.
Insane.
So a lot of things are happening.
And also we got some demographics numbers, and at least 10% of the lottery party attendees will be women.
At least 10%. But here's the thing I'm
Fall
saying.
Fall in love at the lottery party.
And that doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're talking about thousands of people, there's a good number of females that are going to be there. And maybe, you know, some of them might be interested. These are females who are interested in coming to the lottery party. So you already share some sort of...
But don't be weird.
Yeah, don't be a weirdo.
Please don't be weird.
So, and have a good time. This is, look, I love doing the podcast. I'm a little tired of setting up events. I don't know how many more lottery parties.
No, you're not. You're not tired
yes,
of it.
I am.
Here's your routine.
Yeah.
You say, no more events. And then you set up an event and you're like, oh, I can't believe I'm doing it. Then you get excited for it. You get anxious for it. You get excited for it. You get anxious for it. It happens. We got to do that all the time.
Right. Yeah, I guess it is. I guess that is the thing. So
you thrive off not wanting to do it, but secretly really wanting to do it.
And there are a couple of people, and let me tell you, I'm really proud of this. This lottery party is a crowning achievement, not just for me and you, but for everybody that's been involved with this podcast over the years, from the people who were at the ones at the beginning, and to the people who are just getting in now. So thank you in advance. I look forward to seeing everybody and doing weird chants about Lickface. And thank you, Sam, and weirding out everyone who works at Xfinity Live. And this is the final thing I'll say about it, about leading up to it, is that a big thanks to Xfinity Live, who I've had a sort of a mental... that it's not a place that I'm a very quiet, go out sort of person. Xfinity Live is not really my scene because I don't like going out and hanging out with thousands of people who are drinking. But I will say that Anthony, Aaron, Chelsea, everyone over at Xfinity Live has been, of all of the location people we've dealt with, have been the most excited and understanding and willing to help. And like every question I've had, and everything that I've tried to arrange leading up to this, they've been more than willing to help. So they don't really understand us, but they are very excited for the event. And I thank them for the donation they're going to make to Rain and to the Alzheimer's Association for having the party there. That's very good of them. Of course, Lee goes back with us forever, but I would say that Xfinity Live has been the and Cheesesteak Tees guys, but Xfinity Live has been a very good partner to this. So thanks in advance to them.
Look, I just hope they're ready.
They're ready. Because here's the good thing about them: they don't really care what we're there. I mean, they just want.
I'm just saying. Well, Buffalo Wild Wings wasn't ready.
Yes, Xfinity. Here's what I can tell you: Xfinity Live is overly ready. And here's the other thing: they have come to me and said, "Hey, have you prepared for X, Y, and Z?" So they're better at events. I'm not good at events. They're better at events than I am. So they are very, very ready. So
okay,
all right, buddy.
I'm excited.
I'm very.
I don't want to see any like haggard waiters being very flustered by all the men and boys there.
No, realize that that Xfinity Live they are preparing for this as if they would prepare for a playoff game or something.
Okay.
They know.
All right.
And
good.
Well, and here's the other thing. The good thing about the parking ticket is that it has given them sort of
an idea of who's coming.
Right. Of numbers. And here's the other thing. The other partners we've had, and all credit to them, Xfinity Live has tweeted about the party more than we have. I mean, they're tweeting out the weird pictures of Sam Hinkie and trusting the process and all that. So they've been in on it too. So I'm very excited for how this is going to wind up. My cousin Alec is coming, even though he gave up on the process.
I'm so out on Alec.
But he might work the t-shirt table. So he's volunteered to work the t-shirt table. So I don't know. So
we'll
I might
see.
Have to be back.
We'll see if we trust him.
Okay. So let's talk about we've talked about the podcast is so meta anymore.
For sure.
So
wait, one second. Do you think we got to talk more about we'll talk about the party at the end, like predictions for the lottery, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Or do you want to talk about it now? Let's talk about it now. Let's talk about that now.
This is what we're hyping. We're excited about it.
Yeah. Very excited about it.
So Brett Brown is the representative. That's new. That's new information we haven't talked about.
Yeah, and we were campaigning for Joelle with the understanding that it was never going to be Joelle.
Yeah.
I think Brett Brown is a really good choice, and he is Let's put it this way. There's nobody that doesn't like Brett Brown.
Yeah.
Process, non-process, everybody likes Brett Brown. So I'm in on it.
Yeah, I think it is a necessary thing for Brian Colangelo to do, to say, like, yes, we do trust him.
Yes.
We think he should be here for a while. So that makes sense for me.
Especially after, you know, we were talking about on the last podcast with all the Mike D'Antoni rumors.
Yeah.
I always go conspiracy theory on everything, but I sort of wonder whether it was a message to Dan. It sort of feels like to me, and I'm always projecting these things and creating narratives that may or may not exist. And by the way, I think some of them have existed. But I think there is a narrative in which Jerry Colangelo wants to force D'Antoni as the coach, and Brian doesn't want that forced upon him just yet. And I sort of wonder whether the sending Brett Brown thing was a message to D'Antoni and Jerry as well.
That's odd in so many ways. I just want Jerry Colangelo to fuck off. Just retire or die, whatever you got to do. Like, if Brian came out and said, just like, look, I'm here. I understand that my dad is, you know, some advisory chairman person, whatever. But, like, fuck him. I would be all in on Brian Colangelo. That's all it's going to take, is him to just say, like, yo, whoever my dad is, I don't give a shit. I'm here. I'm going to do what's best for this organization. Like, I love Brett. I love a lot of the people I brought in. Like, we're going to scout the shit out of people. We're going to try to make the best decisions. We're not going to rush anything. Fuck my dad. Like, let's go. I would be so in. If he could sign DeMar DeRozan to a max deal, and I'd be like, all right, I'd be good to go. But the snide possible, like, anything, any shade towards, like, the former regime slash, like, not just outright discrediting his own father doesn't do enough. I need it to happen. Otherwise, I'm just like, I'm still gonna live in this, like, sort of limbo where it's like my stepdad is taking over the house.
There's a chance. So what you're basically saying is you want Brian Colangelo to become the Spike Eskin of the Sixers.
Yes, that's all it is.
You want him to turn heel on his own
father. I do, and I want you to go further sometimes also. But yes, I would like, if he can get to Spike level, then I'd be very happy with it.
Yeah, I know you want me to go further. He's still my dad, for God's sakes.
Yeah,
it's just the Sixers. I mean,
it's not just the Sixers. You can't tell me it's just the Sixers when in one day I'm flying 3,000 miles to see envelopes being opened in front of however many of my closest friends.
Well, I'll tell you, it's funny. You mentioned go further and how you want me to go further. There was a guy there. So when I post the podcast on my site, it's not like LB. There's never comments or anything. You know, that's not what it's
for. There's a handful of comments.
Yeah. Well, there was this week, and boy, did a guy go in on me for not going in on Tony Bruno enough. I mean, I don't even know. Yeah, you should read it. It's so long. I would guess that it's 800 or 1,000 words.
Great.
And let me just read the final paragraph.
I'm going to agree with everything he said. That's just so you know. I haven't read it. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
Let me read the final paragraph.
Okay.
The rights to Ricky Sanchez is no longer.
Whoa.
I can't listen to people who have no underlying soul. It's too much like homering for Joe Paterno after he allowed kids to be molested simply to keep right now, simply to keep his own reputation spotless. Joe Paterno's statue was rightly taken down, and so should rights to Ricky Sanchez.
We have a statue?
Do the right thing, Spike. Rename your podcast Sixers Podcast, because that's what you've chosen to become. Mic dropped, just like you should have done.
Weird. I like it. I'm a fan of that guy. What's his commenter name?
Larry Tate.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks
for listening, bud.
It's official. Spike Eskin did his own Peter and forsaked Hinky on his own podcast while arguing with his co-host that Spike's boss was probably right to call Hinky.
Why am I just his co-host?
Well, wait a minute. I don't think this guy understands. Tony Bruno was not my boss. I was Tony Bruno's boss. Maybe that's whatever. Okay. So now we're talking about the lottery. So Brett Brown as the lottery rep, we are all in on that. We are all in on Brian somehow turning heel on his father, though the big difference here is that I think Brian Colangelo is still a little bit concerned. Jerry, I think, still has a little more pull than Brian has, I would guess. So I think he has to be a little nervous. Yeah.
I listened to parts of the Andrew Sharp and Ben Golliver podcast. And they talked about the lottery, and both of them said they want some version of Lakers Celtics to be 1-2.
What a couple of dicks.
Yeah, just fucking assholes. And both said that they want the Sixers to fall to 4. And it would be the league tampering if the Sixers got a top 1 or 2 pick.
But not the league tampering if the Lakers got the number 1 pick, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my god. Boy, but I'm not going to let them troll me. But I don't think Ben Golliver knows how to troll. I listen to that podcast sometimes, and it seems like I do listen. It's on my list. I wouldn't say it's a top 3 podcast, but when I need a podcast, I will listen to it. But it sounds like they're doing two different podcasts, whereas like Sharp is doing his normal snarky, you know, dickhead Andrew Sharp podcast, and Ben Golliver's there doing a normal basketball podcast.
Sure.
And I don't think they're doing the same podcast yet. So
there's still it always blows my mind that like Golliver's a smart dude, Sharp is sharp. Like people that have so much disdain for the Sixers.
I know, they
like,
hate
it
him.
Always blows my mind. It's just like I wish those people would turn, and then it's not just those guys, it's everybody, but like would turn a little more introspective as to why they feel those things. Most people, Sharp is never going to think about that anyway. He's just riding out the fun wave of life. But like I listened to Zach Lowe's podcast with Kevin Arnovitz, which I loved. Kevin Arnovitz is great, and I really enjoy that podcast a lot.
I like Arnovitz a lot, and I like when he has David Thorpe on there, actually. They're my two favorite
guests. Oh, is Thorpe good? I've never listened to him on there.
Thorpe's really good. He just – you know what I like about Thorpe? He just really likes basketball, and he – I don't know. They talk a lot about the actual basketball.
Does he call him coach?
He doesn't call him anything. Okay. Like, when you're talking to somebody, you're not really
– I call you Spike now and then.
Well, only when you're upset with me.
Sure.
All right, so continue.
Yeah, so
you're listening to the podcast with Arnold.
And maybe this doesn't tie in as much as I wanted to, but they were talking about the Raptors, and they were talking about how they shouldn't re-sign DeMar DeRozan because, like, they're stumbling into a Game 7 in today and then a possible Eastern Conference playoff berth. And so I think they're, you know, the idea that they're, like, they're going to do what, and Zach Lowe brings it up, this what the Sixers did in 2012. The Sixers and Celtics did in 2012 when they went to Game 7 after Derrick Rose got hurt. And then the Sixers tore it down and the Celtics like tried to like give it one more go and were saved by the Brooklyn trade. But basically they don't want Toronto to re-sign DeMar DeRozan because it's like, you know, he's not good enough to get them to the next level and it'd be an overpay and like they're clearly not good enough to win a championship, so why would they like keep this core together without hoping like to like, you know, work it into an upper level player, whatever. And to me it's like that's just what the Sixers are thinking about at a lower scale. They're trying to think about it sooner than Toronto did, which is like, you know, years sooner. So I don't know why people, and not that it's Zach or Kevin that doesn't do this, but just in general, why people can have that discussion when they're at the top or near the top, where it's like, hey, we're not getting over this hump unless we do something sort of drastic and not re-sign our best or second best player.
Well, yeah, because the reality is that if you are, and I understand the comparison between this Toronto team and that Sixers team, even though this Toronto team is probably way better.
So much better.
157 games. But when people talk about that with Toronto or the Clippers, all I think is like, are you insane? You can't tear down. I'm not of the opinion that you could do. I mean, I don't think DeMar DeRozan is that good. And I actually think that there is a possibility that they would be better without him, you know, with with finding maybe somebody who isn't as
They suggest Nick Batum.
Yes.
Or hoping Terrence Ross takes the leap, or Norm Powell, or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it sort of reminds you of the and he's better than Rudy Gay was, but when they got rid of Rudy Gay and they didn't have to get shots, they didn't have to get. I honestly think if they did more, if Valanciunas got more shots, they would be a better team. You know. So they're that, but that's not a total. You know, letting DeMar DeRozan go is not blowing up. I don't think DeMar DeRozan. In terms of ceiling, best possible player, I don't think he's any better than third on that team. I think Kyle Lowry's a better player. And if you were to ask me ceiling, I would say I think Valanciunas is a better
player. And I'd agree. I was just talking about, I guess, maybe the comparison doesn't work as well as I want it to. But
it's the
idea that like a team can look at themselves and say, hey, we're good but not good enough. And so we need to either take a step back from this like somewhat, you know, top two team in the East, pretty much, and reevaluate and try to like go get a guy who's really gonna take us over the edge. And I guess, you know, that's what the Sixers have been trying to do the whole time, except do it earlier before you're locked into like big salaries and like role players and trying to make things fit and trying to just keep it's, you know, it's optionality at an earlier time than it is you know, when you have to make decisions that your team's gonna be pissed off about. I guess that's it for me, where it's like the Sixers are trying to do that, or Hinkie was trying to do that years in advance and trying to set yourself up to like be flexible going forward before you just lock yourself into a team that has a cap, which that Toronto team has a total cap. And I want them to win. I hope they beat the Cavs. I hope they beat Miami and then beat the Cavs, but it's not gonna happen. So I think it's just like, you know, it's there was an article, I didn't read it really, but some guy with my last name wrote it for Slate, talking about how the Spurs are this like chef that's trying to like do a. I didn't read it, so I only like vaguely looked at the like title or something, but the idea was the Spurs are this like chef that's like trying to use all the ingredients to, like, fit things in and make things work and just make every improvement, whatever. And the Sixers just keep like throwing dishes away like immediately after like anything possibly wrong happens.
That's a good review of a article you didn't read. Guy with your name.
It's just tough because like,
thanks for listening to the podcast, everyone. We'll talk to you next week.
No, it's tough because the Spurs, like it ignores the fact that they drafted Duncan and then like set a culture, and like that's the whole idea of what we're trying to do is draft a guy that is good enough or acquire a guy who's good enough to like spearhead your organization and establish a culture and like run behind for the next decade. Like that's what we want, but we're not just going to do it to do it. It wasn't Michael Carter Williams wasn't going to be that guy. Anyway,
back to the lottery.
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay. That's all right. It was a productive.
I went
lane
to the Beyonce
we went down there.
I just want to make sure
I don't forget, because there was one thing I wanted to say. People are asking a lot, the lottery and the lottery party.
Yeah.
With the fourth pick, if they don't want to panic the wrong way.
Yeah.
If it is the Laker pick that we get, it will say Laker. It will say it will have both logos on the thing.
Yes, like if it did. Like it did when the Pelicans.
Right. Invade. But if it is just the Sixers pick, then you'll know because everyone will be throwing up.
Yeah, but I would say if it's just the Sixers pick, okay. Yeah, I was thinking. I wonder if the Sacramento Kings, when they come up, if they jump into the top three, I wonder if theirs would say from the Sixers.
No, because remember, I guess this is just my opinion, but that swap is not automatic.
Yeah.
That is if the Sixers choose to swap. So at that time, the Sixers wouldn't have made that choice,
right? Oh, so you think
if
the Kings get number one, it would say Kings have number one and the Sixers would have like three.
And poor Willie Cauley-Stein will be standing there like a...
Really?
Like a, yeah.
I didn't know that. That'd be weird.
Yeah, that I mean, I don't know. Maybe they've agreed ahead of time
I
that
hope they do
if that
because that would be
happens.
tough and that would feel odd. You know, if it's Vlade, then maybe I would get behind it and we can all cheer for Vlade again. But I don't know for sure. Like, I think there should be more established. There should be more like awareness of how important this is.
Well, but see, here's the thing. It's funny you mentioned that because I was talking to the New York Times guy, and the article is actually, I think, going to be about the lottery and why people care about it. And he wanted to know mostly about why we care. He understands because he listens, but I had to
Sure.
explain it for somebody who didn't.
Yeah.
And his question was, he wants to write an article about why people care so much. And I think the reality is that the reason they don't have this figured out more is because most people don't pay attention like we do.
Sure, yes.
I mean, it's
But they
a
have to have an
very.
awareness of how much this matters because Minnesota only exists because they kept fucking getting lucky the last
Let me.
2, 3
Can I
years.
ask you a question about Minnesota? I was thinking about this when I was walking my
If
dog
they win a lot,
yesterday.
if they win number one, I'm gonna leave the party. I won't, you
The.
won't see me again.
Would you, if you were given the option right now, on May 16th or whatever today is, May 15th,
Yeah.
and they were like, Minnesota just called, they're offering Wiggins for Embiid. What would you do?
I saw you tweet about this yesterday.
Yeah. But it's more of a, it's not a no-brainer either way.
It's not, but you know, here's what I'll say. I have to have more information about Joel. I wouldn't do this without knowing like really what's his body looking like. I'd talk to every doctor in the world and try to figure it out because I do think that Embiid's upside is higher. But the
Right.
odds
Well,
of, you know, a guy coming back from 2 years of not playing, all the stuff that we know.
let me ask you this, because I asked, because somebody who disagreed with me, I asked this. Imagine they are both totally healthy, and that's that the Embiid thing isn't a concern. What is the percentage chance you would put that Embiid is significantly better than Andrew Wiggins as a finished product? Like when they you have a chance, they're both healthy. What percentage chance do you give that Embiid is significantly better at the end of the day? Is that question clear?
Yeah, assuming they're both very healthy, I'm like 60 to 70% confident that Embiid would be better.
I'm even more confident than that, I
Well, yeah, I
think.
mean it's like healthy is not it's like it's a sliding scale, so you can't just say you know, you have to take into account that he has lost 2 years of development time. But yeah, I would say, you know, Wiggins would fit in here nicely. I don't think, you know, it doesn't happen. It's only a hypothetical because Minnesota wouldn't do that. But
And I sort of look at Wiggins and I you know, he's good and I would take him and all that, but he's sort of, I'm not sure what he is yet, and I
yeah.
think, you know, he because he doesn't he's not a playmaker and he doesn't really rebound and he scores points, but he can't really shoot yet, and there's a lot of raw stuff there,
Yeah.
but I don't know what he I don't know what he is
I
really.
have like I have this I'm a little bit of like a the idea that the Sixers have three to four if you count Rashawn, big men that cannot coexist. Still like, you know, it makes me anxious. Like I'm like I just want that trade to happen quickly. And I like Wiggins very much. So the idea that we can like somewhat rectify that problem while also getting a guy at a position of need who I very much like. I would probably do it right now, just without the health and, you know, whatever. It's not a real thing that's gonna happen, but that should just give you a sense of how excited I am to move one of Jahlil or Nerlens. Because I don't think you can move Embiid because you've put too much time in there. His stock is too low around the league to where how high it could be. Like it doesn't The variance is too wide. You don't move Embiid until he plays. So for me, one or both of Nerlens or Jahlil like needs to get traded as soon as possible. And so just moving one of the big guys would like, you know, make me breathe a little bit more.
A draft night trade would be pretty exciting with Nerlens
That'd be
or
great.
Jahlil.
That'd be great. It'd be nice also because before Hinkie, the Sixers made no trades on draft night.
Right.
They're always just like limping in. The one that happened was Arnett Moultrie. Like, it was just nothing.
Yeah.
So if like Colangelo can make some action, I think it'd be like, all right, like we're thinking about stuff. Like, it's the idea that they're like, at least, you know, game is would quell some concerns.
I want to talk a little more about Embiid because a couple things happened this week. But before we do, we have to talk about the sponsor of the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast, the amazing L.L. Pavorsky of L.L. Pavorsky Jewelers, 707 Walnut, llpavorsky.com, or just call Lee at 215-627-2252. Look, the lottery party is going to be more exciting because of L.L. Pavorsky Jewelers. Not only is his handsome face going to be shaking hands, but the first 250 people into the lottery party that go up to his table, and he has a banner and everything, will get a gift bag with some jewelry cleaner and a $100 gift card. He's also giving away throughout the night, make sure you sign up to win these prizes, a 250 LL Pavorsky gift card, gift card, $250, a 36-inch pearl necklace with a retail value of over $500.
36 inches?
Yeah. Well, because
is that a round?
Well, yeah, you
not
like double
like 36
it up.
Inches down from your neck to where the bottom is.
I know
a lot about jewelry.
Right. A pair of 1-carat diamond stud earrings worth about $1,600. And, of course, the grand prize to be given out. And you can sign up for these prizes at LL Pavorsky's table. We'll be giving them out through the night. The first ever and probably last ever Trust the Process TTP diamond ring,
oh my God,
custom made to be given away at this party. Totally blinged out. I don't know if the kids still say bling, but it is a blinged out ring that says TTP. Retail value of about $2,500, just crusted from here to eternity in diamonds.
There's no way that doesn't get mentioned in the upcoming Sixers Process 30 for 30.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Are you serious?
You will be contacted by Spike Lee.
Yes, absolutely. And by the way, I know 700 Level Show will be filming there. And also we got word from people making a documentary about Ben Simmons. They will be filming there as well.
Yeah.
So we'll have and CBS3 Pat Gallen will be there too. So there's going to be a lot of cameras. So LL, aside from the great prizes he's giving away, he's a wonderful human being who sells great jewelry and is just a really low pressure, great dude to buy from.
Wait.
So whether it is a gift you're looking for or an engagement ring, we've had several up to, I think, 9 or 10
We haven't had some in a while. I need another.
Yeah, would love to get engaged, guys. Yeah, get engaged and call. Well, now it's becoming, now it's the season, right? I don't know. It's the season to get married. I don't know if it's the season to get engaged. But let's get another LL Pavorsky engagement ring stories. There are a million of them, and there's at least 10 from us, but a million total. He is the right dude to go to. Just talk to him, and you will know. He is, again, the store is at 707 Walnut. You can go online, llpavorsky.com. You can tweet him at llpavorsky, or you can call him, 215-627-2252. And as the official jeweler and sponsor of the Ricky, LL Pavorsky Jewelers makes donations to the Alzheimer's Association of the Delaware Valley and RAIN for every podcast. LL Pavorsky Jewelers.
1-4-24-26.
Yeah, baby.
That's all we're about. Hey,
right.
I can't remember if this was in an email to us or if this was public, but what about was the number one pick thing? Is that public? I can't remember.
No, that's not public yet. Here's what we'll say. If the Sixers get the top pick, there will be another LL Pavorsky giveaway, and it is very significant. A bonus giveaway.
And also, like, there's no way that LL is hoping they get the number one pick now.
Yeah, there's enough being given away, by the way. Yeah, yes. Yes, I think he's backed himself into
it. He's probably like, I don't know if they get two, that's fine. Like, two's good.
Yeah, we'll still get one of the two guys.
Yeah, two's great. Two's great. We'd love to. But top pick, he'd be like, ah, shit. All right.
Two Embiid stories coming out this week. One, Philadelphia trainer Chuck Ellis, who apparently is close to Embiid, tweeted out a text conversation with Joel, where Joel says he is beginning 2-on-2 workouts next week. The Sixers would not confirm or deny, according to Derek Bodner.
Didn't the tweet get deleted?
The tweet got deleted, but the Instagram did not.
Okay.
And by the way, Chuck Ellis, another Instagram and tweet from a couple weeks earlier, said trust the process in it, by amazing. The way. And there was also video from an amazing tweeter. Hold on, let me get the guy. I think it was Mr. Dig. Was it Mr. Dig that saw, I want to get his at correctly, saw Joel Embiid playing tennis and recorded grainy Zapruder film type video of him playing tennis, and it is on the internet now. I tweeted it out. I'm trying to find it. Hold on.
I can't tell how to feel about that.
I'm fine with it.
I hope that the Sixers are on board. That's the only thing, is that if it's
MIGDIG, at MIG_DIG. He got the video. He wasn't like running around like crazy. It looked like he was just hitting the ball back and forth. And
sure.
here's the thing, man. To play basketball,
yes.
I mean, this is what's scary. He's got to run.
Yes.
You know, he's got to run. He's got to. So eventually the guy's got to be able to. You can't keep him in bubble wrap his whole life. And, you know, I hope the Sixers were okay with it, but I didn't watch this like I watched the, I don't know, the Bynum dancing video or whatever.
Sure.
I watched this like, hey, look, that's cool. He's playing tennis.
Yeah. At this point, I'm like broken from everything. So any sort of anything where there's a big man who's injured is even him walking on the street or riding his whatever it's called. I forget the name. When, you know, the thing that just glides.
Oh, yeah.
The hoverboard,
I almost called it the fresh jive, but I know that's not what it's... It's got some dipshit name to it.
Wow.
What is it?
It's like the hoverboard. It's called a hoverboard. Or like
But it's called like the... But there's a brand name. It's like the boogie woogie.
Sure.
Okay, you keep talking. I'm going to find the name.
It's just... I don't know. It's good. It's good that he's out there doing stuff, and hopefully the Sixers are sanctioning it. I don't want to deal with injured big men anymore. I can't do it. Like I would sooner if we have to keep dealing with it with Embiid being injured or, you know, another big man, whatever, I would rather them like panic sign Kent Bazemore than have to deal with that. At least like give me something. I'm not built for this. I'm not built for all this like waiting for injuries to heal. Like if I was a doctor, I could have like an opinion on it, but I'm just a man who wants to see some basketball.
Wow. I'm just a boy in love with a girl.
Just a boy in love with a big man whose knees don't work. That's all.
Swagway is what one of them is called. Oh. That's what I was thinking about. Yeah. I said it was some dipshit name. I wasn't that far off. Okay. Fresh Jive. is pretty close. So... Yeah, I am damaged, but I think the damage has left me numb, if that makes any sense. I'm not bothered by it.
I'm never going to be numb. I'm never numb about anything in my life. Every wound is a fresh wound.
I wanted to talk about an article you wrote on libertyballers.com.
Oh, well now.
Yeah, libertybaez.com. And the article was about, of course, we're in the area where a bunch of rumors about nothing come out.
Yes.
And one of those rumors was about nothing, by the way, was that the Sixers were willing to trade one of their picks and make a big trade and trade for a player or a star that's available, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So you, instead of taking too long talking about that actual rumor, which who the fuck knows, and of course they would, why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they trade something that might be a great player into someone who is already a great player?
Sure.
Of course they should consider that.
Yeah.
But you broke down, I would, maybe I would, and then no, I would not. And I would like to talk about those guys on the podcast.
Wow.
Is that okay?
Yeah, this feels like content.
Yeah, so, yeah, well, let's talk about how we should react at the lottery party. More. So, I wanted to maybe agree, disagree, and discuss. So, the ones from I Would, here is your I Would.
It's basically
section.
The sense of, like, they're saying, hey, we could trade a young guy for a veteran. There's a lot of people that get anxious about that and get pissed off immediately, being like, hey, we're trying to derail the process. But I think Hinkie would... That was the plan anyway, to try to like package any picks to get a difference maker, older person, whatever. How I don't know, I'm talking like a vet, but whatever, 20s.
Yeah.
Someone who can build with that was the plan. I mean, there was always like infusing new young talent with like established players to whatever it takes. So my idea was basically like, there's not that many of those guys out there, and there's not that many of those guys that teams would trade at all. Nobody, I think, because people are looking at this offseason like, hey, we have all this cap room, we're not that far away, we're going to keep, no one's like, there are very few teams this offseason that are going to go, we need to rebuild, we need to like take a look and go down. So I don't think that many teams are going to be like, yes, I will trade my best player for like a lottery pick.
Right. So in your I would category, there are four guys. Yeah. There are two that I agree with definitely, and two that I know this doesn't count, but I would want to see the deal.
Yeah,
really.
Of course, yeah.
So the two guys that I 100% agree with are Paul George and John Wall. I don't think that there is a realistic, enormous package from the Sixers that I would say no to. And it was funny, somebody asked me, you know, if you got the first pick, would you include that for Paul George? And I was like, yeah, of course. Yeah. I was like, what do you, Ben Simmons, let's say, and I have not revealed if we get the first pick, who I want, because I don't want to do that till after the lottery, but let's say it's Ben Simmons. Like, the reason you're drafting Ben Simmons is because you hope one day he's as good, it's a different skill set, obviously, but you hope if as good as Ben Simmons gets is as good as Paul George, you would take that every time.
Yeah.
So why would you not just take Paul George, right? I mean, that's where I sit with both those guys, is that, you know, with the top pick, I would only hope that our guy would be as good as that guy.
Totally. And also my qualifications were had to be re-signed after this coming season, because they're not going to do it for a guy who's about to expire.
So Jimmy Butler is on your definitely list.
Yeah.
I think Jimmy Butler is really good, but I also think maybe he's definitely not as good as those other two guys. And I'm a little worried that he's a little overrated, a little. And I think he's good, and I like him physically. And he also might be a pain in the ass, but whatever. He doesn't seem like a DeMarcus Cousins pain in the ass.
No.
But I'm a little concerned that maybe he's a little overrated.
Okay. I disagree. I think he's tremendous. I think he's everything you, I mean, he works his ass off, and he might, that's why I think people, he bumps heads with people, because people don't work as hard as him. But I think that's kind of what you want. He'll grow in, hopefully he grows into like being a star player more.
Yeah.
And like maybe learns from the last year or two, who knows? But, I think he's maybe the most likely person on that list. If we get the number one pick and Chicago is like, Derrick Rose is dying, Noah's going, like, we have Doug McDermott and a bunch of, like, you know, Bobby Portis. We like our quote, maybe we'll take a chance on going to get a young guy and really rebuilding in this, whatever. And letting Fred Hoiberg, like, do his young Fred Hoiberg thing. So I think that is likely the only of the people on that list that I'd be interested in, even some of the maybes. I think Jimmy Butler is, like, a possibility if that were to happen.
Blake Griffin, I would love to have Blake Griffin, but I've sort of been, Bill Simmons is in LA, and I always feel like the one thing he sort of knows about is the Clippers, and his concerns about Blake are sort of like, this guy's had a few really significant injuries at this point.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're getting a guy who has depended very much on his athleticism, and you might be buying sort of at the wrong, that he's very good and he's still young, but maybe you're buying a guy that has already peaked. And that would be my only concern. I would do it, but it would be my only concern about Blake Griffin.
Yeah, I could see it. I just think that there's so few of those guys that...
Yeah. Yep.
That, you know, if you get 5 good years out of Blake Griffin, where him plus a healthy Embiid is like a terrorizing front court, then I think you do it.
So then there's the section of yours where you'd think about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Kevin Love. So you say not for one or two, but I don't think the Sixers have what Cleveland would be looking for anyway. That's true, though. I think they could use Nerlens. I think they could use a rim protecting five that can run and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I would definitely take Kevin Love. I would definitely maybe over trade for Kevin Love.
I like Kevin Love a lot. Here's my argument for not trading him for number one or two, is that he's not going to be the best player on a championship team ever. And maybe even a legitimate playoff team, because he wasn't in Minnesota for years. So I would trade him not for the one or two pick, because I think one of those guys could become a superstar, and Kevin Love is just never going to get there.
Next one, Goran Dragic. We discussed him midseason. I think there was a time in which they were probably going to trade him, but I don't think they will. But yeah, I know he's 30, but he doesn't have a ton of miles as far as a 30 guy, and he's not a guy whose athleticism is all that important. To me, I'm a big Jeremy Lin fan. He is sort of better version. He's the optimal version of Jeremy Lin, I think. So I would trade for, I know he's 30, but I would trade for Dragic. I would.
Yeah, it depends on the deal for me. I think he's a fine complementary player, and if they get like 3 and 4, then I would trade one of them and maybe package it into an Okafor or something like that, and we'll figure. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not in love with any of those deals for guys who are just like, yeah, okay, solid. This does make us a more legitimate team, but like, you know, if you're at the top of the draft, you're hoping for more than that.
Yeah, so your next one is Gallo. I love Gallo,
yeah,
but
he's hurt.
He's hurt too much. He's hurt a lot,
yeah.
And but I love him.
The problem James is, I think that I would all like the most of the guys in the Sixers, Covington, Grant, all the big guys. Like, they work best as a small ball four.
Yeah, like, and you know what's funny is watching the playoffs, I see guys that we're talking about overpaying for, just Bazemore, for example, and I think to myself, if Covington was on a good team, is there a realistic chance that he's as good as one of those guys that we're talking about? And I think definitely.
Yeah.
I think definitely there's a chance that he is.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. Like Gallinari, I think Gallinari has guts. I know this isn't the podcast where we talk about not being afraid of big shots, but I like that Gallo is though. He's a killer. He's not scary.
I like establishing that this isn't that podcast.
Yeah. We're not the clutch podcast.
That's a decent name for if we ever want to like change our identity. We just become the clutch podcast.
James Harden, I would in a second. I know there are all these. You know, it's funny. I was talking with Ike this week about how Barkley was sort of ripping the Rockets, and Charles Barkley was the power forward James Harden. I mean, he showed up out of shape every year. He played himself into shape. He never played any defense, but his production outweighed all of those other things, so we sort of let it go. James Harden is so good. He is so good. I would take it. I would overpay. I don't think he'll be available, but I would overpay for James Harden.
Yeah, a year ago I would have said that, but seeing what happened with Houston this year, I just look at it and say, like, he needs to change something. And I don't know. Maybe the whole team is toxic, whatever. It's just, he's a tremendous offensive player. But I don't think that, it's just tough to build around him when he's a liability on one side of the court and he alienates players on the other side of the court. I think over the last few years, I've realized how much, like, players actually like giving a shit about each other matters.
Sure.
And I'm normally asset guy, like, let's just, you know, ram it in there and we'll figure out the rest later. And I look at players as assets more than I think you should, probably. But I'm start coming around and being like, it just doesn't work like that. It's not a video game. And I think that that he's in the same way that people
video are, game player.
Yeah, in the same way that you're concerned about winning with DeMarcus, I think you kind of have to be concerned about like establishing a culture and continued years of contending with Harden.
Eric Bledsoe slash Brandon Knight. Eric Bledsoe is a, I think, is better in everyone's mind than he is in reality, and he is hurt a lot, and he had got the meniscus removed or whatever this year. Like, he took the I want to get back on the court version of that surgery instead of the I want to get better. I like Brandon Knight a lot, even though I probably overrate him. I would rather Brandon Knight than Eric Bledsoe.
Interesting.
Actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think Brandon Knight is the guy that you go after if you get, like, say, 1-4 and try to trade 4.
Yeah.
And you get, like, Simmons as your point guard pretty much, and Brandon Knight can just play off ball and defend guys and do whatever. Bledsoe, to me, I'm not a Dame Lillard fan, and I was very wrong about Portland all year. And he played well. I still don't think that they're a serious title person with Lillard as their best player. I mean, Eric Bledsoe to me is, like, pretty much Lillard. Like,
well, except a way worse shooter, right?
Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
looking
yeah,
at
but, like,
he
the similar
can't...
in the similar, like, vein and of guys that, like, will get you something, but not everything.
Yeah. Paul Millsap, I'll just read your quip here. Can't see Atlanta rebuilding with Budenholzer. Millsap is good, but he's only on this list to piss off Spike Eskin. So
I didn't even send you this article. I had no idea that you'd read it. I was just like, whatever. You're gonna walk around and feel this article on weighing on your conscience, and you're gonna get angry. And
Paul Millsap is. So there are a set of players in my head, and let me preface this with, I adore Zach Lowe. Zach Lowe is I love the podcast. I love reading what he writes. I love all of that stuff. But there are players in my mind that are the Zach Lowe all-stars of, he thinks they're better than they are because because everyone else underappreciates them, and they don't do those things that we typically give players too much credit for. So he overcompensates by giving. So the Zach Lowe All-Stars are Paul Millsap, Marc Gasol, who's the big man in Atlanta, Al Horford, like all these guys who do the right things, but yet somehow have not found themselves the critical acclaim that most players will.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Millsap is good, but if Paul Millsap is your first or second best player, I don't think you're in, you know, you're not in business. And I thought about this with Kawhi a little bit too.
I think Paul Millsap and Kevin Love aren't very different in terms of what they give a team.
Except that there comes a time in a basketball game where you need somebody to get you a basket.
It feels like we're becoming the Clutch Podcast.
Well, but it's the truth. I'm watching, you know, I looked at the MVP voting, and the number of people who have, I think Kawhi Leonard is very, very good, but the number of people who have Kawhi Leonard over LeBron James, it's insane. Look, there comes a time in a basketball game where you need one of your best players to go and because when the game slows down in the last 5 minutes, like it or not, you need somebody who can get a shot, who can take a tough shot, blah 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 blah. Paul Millsap is not that guy, and at least as of yet, I just don't think Kawhi Leonard is. Kawhi Leonard is a fabulous defender, and when your team is rolling, his offense looks great, but you can't give him the ball at any point in a crunch time situation and think that he can get you a bucket. And Paul Millsap is a really nice player and would be a really nice player on a championship team, but I don't think he's one of your first two guys.
Interesting. So. Interesting that you brought it to Kawhi. Because I think it's tough because the Spurs, the Cleveland's offense is pretty much predicated upon LeBron driving and either putting up a shot or kicking out to a shooter. Whereas San Antonio is, like, there's obviously more fluidity to it. And even in crunch time, they're still running plays. And Cleveland's not running plays in crunch time. So I don't know.
Right, but it sort of is. I don't think you could just say Kawhi go. Maybe you could, and maybe he's just playing within the system. But I don't think you could say, okay, Kawhi, here's your team offensively. Mm-hmm. Everything's running through you. You know, create blah 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 blah. He is the perfect example of player and system and coach where everything's working great together, but if one thing was not part of it, I sort of think Klay Thompson is a little bit of the same thing, where he's a really nice player, but if he wasn't playing within that sort of ecosystem, we would see his flaws a lot more. And I think Kawhi, we would see his flaws if they were depending on him for offense more than they are, you know? So and your no list is Carmelo Anthony. I'll tell you, I've learned to appreciate Carmelo in the last few years, but he's at the wrong, even if you like how Carmelo Anthony is a player, he's on the wrong side of his career. Mm. He's on the downside of his career. So I agree with you.
Yeah.
You have anything before a Jigsaw?
Did we ever talk about the Executive of the Year voting?
Oh, no, that Sam came in 11th. Did we mention it last week? I thought we may have mentioned it, but maybe not. Yeah, Sam came in 11th. Got, what, 3 total votes? A couple of third placers or something?
Yeah, it's one second place vote and 2 third place votes.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, that's so
good. Yeah, it's awesome.
Good.
And Angelo looked at me the next morning and he was like, I bet you love that. I was like, hell yeah, I love that. It was the greatest.
Who do you think gave it to him?
I don't know. I could only – the only one – you know, everyone just assumes Morey because of their supposed relationship.
Yeah.
Or I guess assumed relationship. I think Ainge is a pretty good bet.
So do I
think – yeah. But beyond that, I don't know. You know, Masai Ujiri could be one – it would have to be one of the smart ones, right? I mean, that sounded like – that came out different than I meant, but probably came out exactly as it should have.
I think so too, buddy. I think so too.
Do you have any off the wall guesses about who it could have been?
It'd be funny if it was like Vlade.
Yes.
If he was just like, look, I got fucking played.
Yeah, I learned. Well, you know what? At the end of the day, Vlade knows more about the CBA and rules and trading than he knew before Sam Hinkie.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah, he made him a better general manager by schooling
That's
him.
That's right.
Right?
That's absolutely
One day, Vlade might be the Paul Pfeiffer in the one-on-one basketball game with Kevin Arnold. And finally, he'll hit his growth spurt and he'll become the GM that beat Sam Hinkie in the one-on-one game because of all the times that Sam beat Vlade.
Hey, God willing.
Do you want a Jigsaw?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Play.
I will play this game.
Game play.
I will play this game.
I miss you.
I will play this game.
I'm worried. Play.
I will play this game.
And after the game, they were interviewing him, and they said, how does it feel to win the ultimate game? And he said, if it's the ultimate game, why are they playing it again next year?
So today's Jigsaw, I'm not going to give away what movie it's based on because the movie is actually sort of new and I don't want to give away what happens in the movie.
Okay.
But I will
Have
say
I seen it,
it is...
Do you know for a fact if I... Or anything?
No, I don't know. And I will tell you it's a horror movie.
Okay.
That's all.
And I definitely haven't seen it. I don't watch horror movies.
Okay.
And I still haven't seen They Live, but at least 10 people have told me to see it.
Please see They Live. Please see it. Yeah, the reaction to that was pretty strong.
Yeah.
It was... Yeah. They Live is a great... They Live is definitely not a horror movie, though it is in that realm. It's a little more sci-fi than it is horror. So.
Cool.
All right. So here is... So your Jigsaw is pretty gross and pretty painful. Would you rather have an arrow shot into your midsection by a professional... Like, this is a professional bow and arrow thing. sort of like the one
that the guy...
professional
arrow man.
Yeah, well, and the arrow
not
is
an archer.
Like one...
A bow and arrow.
Yeah, archer, there you go. So, but it's like the one that they have in The Walking Dead. It shoots really hard. You know, it's a one that you would have
like
to buy.
A crossbow.
Yes, okay. A crossbow.
Okay.
So you would be shot into your midsection. You'd have to pull it out, clean the wound, and tie up the wound. Or...
I have to do this by myself.
Correct. Or have someone stomp on your non-writing hand as hard as they can 3 times while wearing heavy boots.
How fat is this person?
Very this big. Person, it's an average size man with, I would say, above average strength.
Okay. Stomp on my left hand.
As hard as they can.
3 times or shot in the midsection and have to clean it. Well, here's the thing. I'm dying from that arrow wound. I can't do anything at all. I can't apply Neosporin in the right way. Like, I'm going to die. So...
Well, let's say this. I mean, it doesn't go into your heart. It doesn't... like the only way you die is if you bleed out.
I would bleed it. If it's going through, is it going through my body or is it going just in like, you know, it's getting stopped front way through?
Yeah, your amazing abs are stopping.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
Right.
I would do the stomp. I would do the stomping.
Oof. Let me tell you, after watching this film, I don't think I could take the stomping. I would take my chances with the cross.
Because wait, my hand would be on the ground, flat.
Yes, yes. Well, I mean, yeah.
If
I mean, you're reacting.
If it's in a fist, then I think all my fingers are breaking. But if it's a flat, if it's three flat stomps, I think I could come back from that. A crossbow to the midsection. I don't know that I'm. I don't. I think that might be done.
Remember, download your parking ticket for the lottery party. I don't want to hear a bitching on Tuesday. So do it today or tomorrow. Do it Sunday or Monday. We'll see you at the lottery party.
What?
You can still order t-shirts, by the way, but they won't be ready for the lottery party. You can still get them shipped.
Can people buy t-shirts at the lottery party?
The plan was no. Don't count on it. Because I don't have someone to take the money and make change. And
Is Tom coming again? Tom was there last year?
No, Tom Hoag cannot be there. Okay. So I don't have, unless the Cheesesteak Tees guys decide they want to sell t-shirts, I don't have the infrastructure to be able to sell t-shirts, and I don't want to be bothered with the money. Yeah. So, no.
Okay.
And Cheesesteak Tees is doing, they are a small printing press. They're doing their best to keep up with the actual orders that we have.
That's
cool. So, here's what I would say. Don't count on it.
Yeah.
You know, so, have anything else?
Yes, a couple things.
Okay.
Prediction for Tuesday. Oh.
1-4. And we get one by flopping with the Sacramento Kings. So our normal pick is 3, and the Kings get 1, and we flip with them and get the Lakers at 4.
God, imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Yesterday I said 2-4.
Okay. And today you say?
3-4.
Oh, get out of here.
I got to protect myself a little bit.
You're not allowed on the Clutch Podcast.
I got to protect myself. What happens if they just get 4? What do? We need to establish a protocol. Because
everyone goes home, buddy. I mean, I don't know.
Just leave. Like. No chance. No up in arms. Yeah, just turn around and leave.
Well, some hugs. I'll tell you. Max Rappaport said, I'm worried about the place if we just get 4. And I said, Max, the Eagles have lost home NFC championship games. Yes. And no one got died.
But the difference
is,
but the difference is, the Eagles lost them over the course of 3 hours. This would be one immediate shot to the gut,
punch to the gut. Yeah. Well, is what it is. Anything else?
I'll see you in a couple of days, buddy.
See you in a couple of days. This has been the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast, brought to you by LL Pavorsky Jewelers, 707 Walnut, always at llpavorsky.com. Are you down with TTP?
Yeah. One last time. You know Lickface. Yes. See you, buddy. Like I said, hold your head, son. Don't take a second. Check it out now. Come on, while I wreck it. Like I said, hold your head.